Hello and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight. I'm Brandis Friedman. Here's what we're looking at. The government shutdown hits the 30-day mark. A look at who's feeling the pressure and whether it'll begin moving the needle in Washington. Meanwhile, if Congress fails to extend subsidies, Illinois residents may see a sharp increase in health care premiums. What you should know as enrollment begins.
I think it's important to have honoring and remembering at the core.
And celebrating Day of the Dead at a local museum. First off tonight, basic human decency. That's what Governor J.B. Pritzker says he's asking for from the federal government in making the request to pause immigration raids for the next 3 days, allowing families to celebrate Halloween.
I think their response will be revealing. They've disrupted everything for more than 2 months already. Give the children and the families of Illinois a break.
Pritzker sent a letter to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and other officials citing the tear gas agents deployed in Old Irving Park last weekend as kids were preparing for a Halloween parade. Speaking in Gary, Indiana today, Secretary Noem has already responded to the governor. Hard pass.
We're absolutely not willing to put on pause any work that we will do to keep communities safe. The fact that Governor Pritzker is asking for that is shameful, and I think unfortunate that he doesn't recognize how important the work is that we do to make sure we're bringing criminals to justice and getting them off our streets, especially when we're going to send all of our kiddos out on the streets and going to events and enjoying the holiday season.
For more on how Chicagoans are working together to help kids feel safe this Halloween, you can visit our website. The father of a teenaged girl fighting cancer has been released from ICE custody after a judge today granted him a $2,000 bond.
The ICE officers broke the window on Ruben's pickup truck, forced him out of the car, never presented a warrant, refused to let him make a call to his wife despite his pleas that he had a severely ill daughter, and held him in mandatory detention.
Ruben Torres Maldonado was detained by immigration agents earlier this month after living in Chicago since 2003. His 16-year-old daughter has a rare form of cancer that is in stage 4. Attorneys and activists made a plea for his release earlier this week. Today, during an immigration hearing, Judge Eva Saltzman granted him the bond, saying she believes he has a very strong incentive to appear at future hearings to apply for a cancellation of removal. This would allow him to remain in the U.S. lawfully due to the hardship facing his family. Up next, a fresh look at the government shutdown as it's set to enter its second month.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
Today marks day 30 of the federal government shutdown, and with no deal in sight, the country is likely to break the record 35 days set during President Donald Trump's first term in 2019. Meanwhile, thousands of federal workers are still on the job without pay as Democrats and Republicans in Congress remain deadlocked over a funding agreement. Joining us with more on who Americans are blaming and when this shutdown might finally end are John Mark Hansen, political science professor at the University of Chicago, and Tabitha Bonilla, an associate professor at the Institute of Policy Research at Northwestern University. Thanks to the two of you for joining us. Tabitha Bonilla, starting with you, please, what does the polling say about who Americans are blaming for this shutdown?
Most Americans are blaming Republicans slightly more than Democrats. So about a quarter of the country is uncertain who to blame, but about 45% of Americans are blaming Republicans and a third of Americans are blaming Democrats. But of course, this is partisan. So more Democrats are blaming Republicans and more Republicans are blaming Democrats. But I think on average, most people, if they're blaming someone, are going to be blaming Democrats or Republicans, sorry.
Okay, blaming Republicans more, but as you said, it's divided on partisan lines as well.
Very much partisan.
So on Tabitha, on October 27th, the largest union representing federal workers came out publicly in support of the clean continuing resolution, which congressional Democrats have rejected. Do you see Democrats feeling the pressure to come back and pass that clean CR so that federal workers can get paid again?
I do think that there is building pressure for them to pass that. I also think that there's understandable concern that if they do so, they may not have the same strength to hold their ground to protect the healthcare subsidies that they're trying to push for later on. And so I think the pressure is not fully on their side. And then I also think if you look at what unions did in the last election cycle, they were not fully taking sides of Democrats as they had maybe historically. So I don't know that that is necessarily going to be the biggest driver for pushing Democrats to give in at this point.
John Mark Hansen, sort of to that same point, you know, Democrats say this shutdown is about protecting those expanded ACA subsidies that are set to expire at the end of this year. Republicans argue that the government should open first and then we can negotiate on this issue. But if the government does reopen without those subsidies in place, can Democrats trust that Republicans and President Trump will negotiate on this issue and even give them what they want at the end of those negotiations?
Well, they don't think that that would be the case. One of the things that we've seen is that there is no deal with Donald Trump that is a done deal, and no promise that he makes is a solid promise. And so I think Democrats feel like, well, you know, if we just give up in return for a promise to talk about it, we'll get nothing at all. In the meantime, if we extend, and that includes even with the pressure of the government unions, if we extend the shutdown, we're going to get into a period where the consequences of the shutdown begin to hit more people. SNAP benefits will come to an end on November 1st, so very, very soon. And the expiration of the Obamacare subsidies will happen at the end of December. And the more that they can kind of keep a focus on that, I think probably the better for the Democrats. We've already seen some hesitation in Republican ranks to go through with the cuts in health care subsidies for Obamacare, and even beyond that, in a couple of years, the expiration of the or the implementation of the Medicare cuts, or the Medicaid cuts, excuse me, that were implemented as part of the Reconciliation Act, the One Big Beautiful Bill that was passed last year.
So funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, as you mentioned, is going to run dry on November 1st as a result of this shutdown. Here's what Republican Speaker Mike Johnson had to say about using emergency funds to keep SNAP going.
Republicans have voted 14 times to provide SNAP benefits, military pay, veterans health services, nutrition assistance for young women, the disabled, the elderly. We've done it 14 times. The Democrats have voted 14 times to block all of that. We need to do all of those things simultaneously. You have to pay the troops. You have to pay Border Patrol, TSA agents and air traffic controllers and everybody else. All of these things need to be done, not just part of them.
So, John, what do you make of the speaker's argument that all programs affected by the shutdown need to be funded simultaneously?
Well, that's exactly what they have proposed. So they're basically giving us the vote on the continuing resolution to extend the budget that was passed last year for an additional several months or initial few weeks. So there's really nothing new there. By the same token, you know, what will happen is that those cuts right now are in prospect, and those cuts will become real. And even though there's a stereotype out there that the supplemental nutrition program is something that only benefits kind of urban minorities, in fact, it's very, very important even in Republican constituencies. And so the pressure is going to increase as well on Republicans to do something, and the doing something might well involve having a serious talk with Democrats about how they can move forward.
one of those Republicans, one of those congressional Republicans, has come out in support of extending these ACA healthcare subsidies. Marjorie Taylor Greene, typically a staunch Trump supporter, she wrote on X, quote, "I'm going to go against everyone on this issue because when the tax credits expire this year, my own adult children's premiums for 2026 are going to double, along with all the wonderful families and hardworking people in my district." Tabitha Bonilla, what happens if Republican constituencies also start to feel the pain of higher health care premiums?
I think that's partly what we're seeing now. I think there's a lot of reporting that indicates that the communities that will be hardest hit by the ending of these healthcare subsidies are, in fact, Republican strongholds. And so I think the Democrats are really trying to leverage that information to solidify their position and come at it from a position of strength that they are doing this for working families, they are doing this for Americans as a whole and not just their constituents. I think the public opinion is a little bit on their side, I think as more Republicans start to break rank, that seems to solidify their position more. And I do think that, you know, along with many other increased costs, if SNAP payments do not go through, if families see really big increases in their health care, that this does kind of support the Democrat position. But again, policy doesn't always translate into differing party support. So the gains may be marginal in the next set of polls we see.
President Trump. Context, sure, go ahead, John.
Yeah, there's a broader context as well. Cuts in Medicaid, which are really, really important in red districts, because there are lots of rural hospitals that will be in danger of shutting if the Medicaid cuts, in fact, are implemented that were passed under one big, beautiful bill. They were backloaded by the Republicans so that they wouldn't occur until after the 2026 midterms. And so the other thing that's happening here is the Democrats, by putting the focus on the expiration of the Obamacare subsidies, are also helping make the point that this is a party that is consistently against providing health care for all Americans, and in particular for poorer Americans, and making sure that that doesn't come as a surprise to people come 2026.
President Trump has spent much of the last few weeks overseas. He's been working on foreign policy. Here's House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries on Trump's commitment to reopening the government.
Listen, we've said to Republicans, get to the negotiating table. We want to find a bipartisan path forward. We want to reopen the government. We are standing by hardworking federal employees, but we need a partner in that effort. But we don't have a partner, literally. Donald Trump, over the last 29 days, has spent more time talking to Hamas and to the Chinese Communist Party than to Democrats on Capitol Hill who represent half the country.
There are also far fewer workers on furlough this time, this shutdown, compared to the 2019 shutdown. Tabitha, a few seconds left. Is reopening the government high on the president's priority list?
He seems to be using this as a way to punish Democrats further. I think when he talks about it, he talks about how he's going to fire workers for activities Democrats want to focus on. He talks about penalizing them. So the language that we have seen does not seem like he cares about it other than pushing Democrats to do what he wants and to meet the Republican demands.
Okay, that's what we'll have to leave it. Obviously, keeping an eye on this until it's over. Tabitha Bonilla and John Mark Hansen, thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Up next, a more detailed analysis of the potential end to healthcare subsidies. people who depend on the Affordable Care Act for health insurance coverage may be in for some sticker shock. Expanded subsidies that helped enrollees pay for the insurance are set to expire at the end of the year. 50 million Americans are insured through ACA plans, including more than 500,000 Illinois residents who are likely to see a nearly 80% increase in their monthly premiums, and some may lose coverage completely. Joining us now are Ann Gillespie, director of the Illinois Department of Insurance, and Morgan Winters, director of Get Covered Illinois, the official health insurance marketplace for Illinois residents. Welcome back. Thanks again for talking to us about this. Ann Gillespie, let's start with the government shutdown. Biggest reason for it is due to the expansion of the subsidies for the Affordable Care Act that Democrats are holding out for. 550,000 Illinois residents have Affordable Care Act exchange plans, which is over 91% of them benefit from these expanded subsidies. And what's at risk if these subsidies expire?
Well, we're going to see significant increases in premium, and they're going to hit hardest in our southern rural part of the state. Some folks down there are going to see premiums go from $400 a month to over $1,000 a month. And we're going to see some individuals, I think roughly 30,000, that could end up losing coverage completely because they qualified under the extended tax credit, and they're cutting that part off completely.
Morgan, Get Covered Illinois is the state-run marketplace for the Affordable Care Act. Its goal is to be an accessible platform for residents. What do people need to know for the upcoming open enrollment period?
Open enrollment starts on November 1st. That's the time where all state residents can come to the marketplace and compare plans that are available to them, take advantage of the subsidies, the premium tax credits and cost-sharing reductions that they may qualify for. And get help picking a plan. And that is particularly important this year when so much is changing. What we are is we really are a one-stop shop for folks to be able to understand their options and pick a plan that works for them. When costs are going up, it's particularly important to compare the available options and make sure you're making a good choice for you and your family.
And how's the government shutdown affecting ACA enrollment?
We expect that the shutdown itself isn't affecting it because the beauty of being a state-based marketplace that we converted to this year is that we're not tied into the federal operational aspects of it. So it allows us to continue to operate. It allows us to do things like have special enrollment periods for women who are pregnant, for example, find out they're pregnant during the benefit year. They're going to be able to enroll in coverage without waiting till the next open enrollment period. We're going to have provisions on the income tax returns this year that are going to allow people to check a box to get access to insurance coverage to indicate their interest in it. These are things that we wouldn't be able to do on the federal platform and that might be impacted by the shutdown. But because Governor Pritzker chose to do a state-based marketplace this year, we're going to be able to provide those services.
As you mentioned, Ann, several counties across Illinois are going to experience significant increases in their monthly premiums. Rural communities in Illinois seem to be taking the biggest hit with monthly costs skyrocketing for Effingham County at 456%, which means $1,209, $1,200 monthly payment per household. Jackson County seeing a 274% increase. That means a $458 monthly payment. And of course, it is worth noting that the most populous counties in Illinois, so Cook County, will be seeing a 95% increase, 83% in Will County. That just names a few. Obviously, you can see on the screen the impact on the collar counties as well. Morgan, why for those downstate counties, those rural counties, why such a massive increase for them?
There is a combination of things happening in southern Illinois and a lot of rural communities across the country. Some of that has to do with provider rates, and cuts to Medicaid are making that more expensive for states to administer. And so that's going to drive up costs for everybody. There's also less care to be had in rural communities. There's more concentration in metro areas, which brings down the cost for metro areas relative to rural areas. There's also income differences that play into the amount of subsidies that are available to folks and those income differences between rural communities and metro communities play a factor into what folks qualify for.
And I imagine that, for example, folks in Effingham County and even folks in Cook County, right, a 95% increase, this means some people are probably just not going to be able to pay it. What does that mean if they lose that insurance?
Well, that's what we're very concerned about. We don't want people to walk away because the risk of going without insurance, as you know, is great. You never know when something's going to happen. You're going to get sick. You might have an accident where you're going to need some coverage to help you get through very expensive medical procedures. So we're strongly encouraging people, don't give up when you see the premium increase. We've got over 1,500 licensed brokers available. We've got navigator programs across the state. These are trained professionals who are going to help you find a plan that works for you out of the 1,100 plans that are being offered on the exchange. So there's probably a plan that is going to work for you, for your healthcare needs, and for your budget. We want to be there to help. We encourage you to reach out.
Also, Anne, tell me a little bit about how this impacts people who are not on an ACA plan, people who may have insurance as an employee benefit.
Yeah, the important thing to remember is it's more than just the tax credits. It's the impact of several things in the Trump administration and in HR 1. The Medicaid cuts are going to result in hospitals and providers losing significant revenue streams. And the banks that finance them know the revenue is being cut. So they're going to be facing increasing financial pressures, which is going to, the only place they can recover that is in the commercial market. So they will be trying to raise their rates in the commercial setting, which will increase prices for employer-based plans as well. The tariffs are having big impacts on pharmaceuticals across the country. Across the country, we're seeing carriers in commercial as well as ACA raising rates by 3 to 4% solely because of the pharmaceutical tariffs. And then just the cost of inflation under the Trump administration is driving those costs up too. So it's the combination package of the tax credits, the decisions under HR 1 and the rule that's taking coverage away from certain groups, tightening up risk pools as a result, and the tariffs that are really gonna have impacts on healthcare, ripple effects throughout the economy.
Morgan, the cost of insurance, it can be obviously an obstacle. Sometimes people choose not to get covered at all. What resources might be available for Illinois residents to get that reliable and affordable insurance?
Yeah, the important thing to remember is that all the plans on getcoveredillinois.gov offer all 10 essential health benefits. And so that includes preventative care that guards folks against major illness, and helps prevent folks from falling into medical debt. So health insurance is really, really important. And even when prices go up like they are going to do this year, it's important that folks are able to review those options. As Anne said, we have a robust network of insurance brokers that partner with Get Covered Illinois that can help folks find the plan that's right for them. And in some cases, that'll mean going from a more robust cost-sharing plan, like a gold plan, to a lower metal level plan that has more affordable premiums. And that's...
Okay. Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I was just going to say, it sounds like that's information folks can probably get when they head to the Get Covered Illinois website.
Get covered Illinois.gov.
Okay. All right. That's where we'll have to leave it. My thanks to you both for joining us. Good luck during open enrollment.
Thank you.
Up next, a look at a local museum commemorating the Day of the Dead. El Día de Muertos, or Day of the Dead, is a tradition that dates back centuries. This Mexican holiday honors deceased loved ones by creating altars and sharing memories. This year, the National Museum of Mexican Art in Pilsen has chosen a celebration of remembrance as the theme for the holiday. We spoke with one of the curators to learn more about the exhibit.
The core part is remembrance and honoring. This year, we are incorporating 5 ofrendas created by community people from La Villita and Pilsen. And we are also talking about a little bit about the history about behind Day of the Dead. It's the Thomas Kelly High School, and they created an ofrenda talking about mental health and mental awareness. So they are talking about this topic because it's something that they are dealing with and mostly related to social media. Some core elements are water, photographs, candles, flowers, and also whatever it's relevant for you about that person, maybe some clothes, some favorite books, food. But also we have a beautiful cartoneria piece created by Los Ramirez Castañeda from Morelos. They created a beautiful scene of a protest in La Villita. It's a beautiful piece, and it also includes important people from the community and the artist community. So it is a beautiful way to remember them and also to honor them.
And you still have time to check out the free exhibit at the National Museum of Mexican Art. It runs through December 14th. We're back to wrap things up right after this.
Reflecting the people and perspectives that make up our communities, this story is part of Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices.
And that is our show for this Thursday night. Join us tomorrow night at 5:30 and 10. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that supports inclusionary excellence throughout the legal profession.